Greetings, greetings, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program, thinkaboutit.org. Today's recording date is Friday, November the 24th, 2011. This is the special Sunday school sessions. This is the Mind of God program. On the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We endeavor to climb up out of the mind of those that are the shedders of blood, those that are the warmongers, those that are the destroyers of the human family, those on Wall Street, those corporate elites, those that are the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. We want to leave that mentality of destruction and division and chaos. We want to, at the same time, climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Yeshua, the mind of Yahuwah, the mind of Allah, the mind of Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness. As we do so, we will see that we are the oppressed, we that are the 80%, we that are the 85%. We will see that if we are not the 1, 2, 5, 10%, we are the oppressed, and it is the oppressed against the oppressor. And we will begin to break down all the barriers, break down all of the artificial divisions constructed by the wicked ruling class and ruling families. We will break down racial barriers, break down barriers of class, ethnicity, religion, denomination, ideology, and philosophy. We will see that black, brown, red, yellow, white, we are all going to have to come together to fight the oppressor with the mind of Christ. And as we do so, we will find that we will organize for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, or revolutionary institution and organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice is yet my producer, helper, engineer, coordinator, and facilitator of this website, thinkaboutit.org, and this program, the Mind of God program. I continue to ask the Most High Father and the Most High Mother Yahweh to bless my beautiful sister, her children, and her family. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. Now, as Africans, houses for the spirit and soul of the Almighty, let us pause and give praises unto the Most High Father and the Most High Mother. We give praises to the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father, the word Father is Ab. Sometimes you hear Abba, Abba, Father. So putting that together with Yahweh, we get Yahweh Ab or Yahweh Abba for Father. In the African Arabic language, the name of the Father is Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, that same Almighty Father Creator is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, that same Almighty Father Creator is known as the Great and the Grand Father. We also pause to give praises to our wonderful and beautiful and precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. Now, in the African Hebrew language, the word mother is Aim. So putting that together with Yahweh, we get Yahweh Aim for the Almighty Mother, Holy Spirit, in the African Hebrew language. Now, Mother Holy Spirit is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom is chokma. On the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary in the African Hebrew language, chokma is feminine, describing a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. You see, in Numbers chapter 11, Moses refers to Yahweh as having both the attributes of begetting, which is the Father, and the attributes of conceiving, which is the Mother. So in Yahweh, Moses saw Father and Mother. The point here is that only the Mother conceives. Holy Spirit is our Mother. Holy Spirit, Mother Holy Spirit, is not only the Mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our Mother. Mother of creation, Mother of universe, Mother of sun, moon, stars, planets, Mother of the human family. We give praises to our wonderful Mother. And Father, the Almighty Father, is Father of the same. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. That word Ruach is found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. That word Ruach, the word for spirit in the African Hebrew language, is feminine, referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of Mother Holy Spirit is Illah, I-L-L-A-H. Also, that word Illah is an African Hebrew word as well. It is feminine, referring to our Mother, the Holy Spirit. And our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When they open prayer, or when they open any event, they first say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, it is translated, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. But we know that Bismillah, that's Illah. B-I-S-M-I-L-L-A-H. Bismillah. In the name of our Mother. And Rahman and Rahim, Beneficent and Merciful, those two words come from a root Arabic word that has to do with the womb, that means the womb, W-O-M-B. So properly understood, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim means in the name of our Mother Illah, the womb through whom we receive beneficence and mercy. In Egypt, that same Mother Holy Spirit creatress is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, that same Mother Holy Spirit creatress is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie, Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile Selassie, Rastafari, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say, Jah Rastafari, Haile Selassie, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. And know of a surety that America is that modern day mystery Babylon that is a mystery no more. And in the last days, we would see that Christ
would be revealed in your and my and our personalities, making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days Christ would return, Christ would come again. In those that would rise up and protest, rise up and oppose, rise up and put up resistance to this Babylon, United States of North America Empire, Israel Empire, Europe, Rome Empire. These are those last days, and we are the revolutionaries. We are the returned Christ. We are the returned Yahshua. We are the new names of Christ. All of us are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine creation, in this divine universe, on this divine planet that we call Earth, in this divine house that we call our physical houses. We are the I in I, in Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari. The first I is yourself, united with the Most High Creator, Creator's Father and Mother Yahweh, also united with the whole of creation. The second I is the human family outside of yourself, united with the same. All of us, the I and I, divine divinities coming from the Most High Father and Mother. We are yet doing special Sunday school sessions. The whole of the scriptures are revelation. The whole of the scripture gives us a picture of today's current affairs and events, gives us a prophetic window into ourselves, a prophetic window into all that is occurring on the planet, this divine planet that we call Earth. And we have been in St. Matthew chapter 5, looking at the Beatitudes, looking at the same system with the eye of truth, apocalypse, apocalyptos, revelation, to see the system as the system is, to see the truth of the system and remove the falsehood. Remove the falsehood so that we may see the truth about the system, so that we may come together and organize for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. Now, we were in St. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17, where Jesus says, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus further says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." You see, sisters and brothers, in Christendom, and I grew up in the church, I've been in the church for decades, I know what the church teaches. I've seen preachers on television, heard preachers on the radio, read teachings in the books written by preachers. And the preaching that has its root and origin in Europe, in Constantine, in Rome, those Christian scholars coming from Europe, they teach and have taught that the Old Testament is done over, obsolete. They have taught that the law is done over, obsolete. But Jesus here is saying that he does not come to destroy the law. These teachers out of Europe, these scholars out of Europe have taught us that the law is over, that the Hebrew is over. But Jesus says he comes to fulfill the law. He comes to fulfill the Hebrew philosophy, the Hebrew scripture. He comes as a true Hebrew to point out the wicked, hypocritical falsehood and wickedness of the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, who claimed to be Jews, but in reality were sons and daughters of the devil being Caesar, the Roman Empire, who have taken their dictates from Satan himself, as today Rothschilds and Oppenheimers do the same. They are today's Caesars and today's inheritors of the Roman Empire doing the same wickedness at a greater scale, because technology is greater in this day than that day. So Jesus says, I don't come to destroy the law. Go back to your preachers. Go back to your churches and tell them that Jesus did not do away with the law, but came to fulfill the law. That word, destroy, 2647. This would be the Greek, in your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Kataluo means to dissolve. 2647 on the Greek side. To dissolve, to disunite, to destroy, to demolish what has been joined together. Metaphorically, to overthrow, to render vain, to deprive of success, to bring to naught, to subvert, to overthrow. Of institutions, forms of governments, laws, etc., to deprive of force, to annul, to abrogate, to discard. So Jesus is saying, I didn't come to overthrow the law of God. I did not come to overthrow the government of God. Jesus is saying, I did not come to discard, to subvert, to render vain, to deprive of success of God's law. You see, the laws of the African Hebrew Israelite nation were laws given by God. And we're going to go back over some of those laws to show what Jesus came to fulfill and not destroy. The word law, 3551 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Nomos. Anything established, anything received by usage, a custom, a law, a command. A law or rule producing a state approved of God, by the observance of which is approved of God. So this law that Jesus is speaking about is not the law of the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, those that were propagated by that petty bourgeoisie elite, were in reality the tradition of the elders. The tradition of the elders was not the law of God given by God through Moses to the African Hebrew Israelite nation. It was the tradition of the elders that Jesus came to destroy. Jesus did not come to destroy the law of God found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and so on, and the prophets. Jesus came to destroy the tradition of the elders. The tradition of the elders was the tradition of selling out to Caesar, selling out to the Roman Empire, and selling out your sister and brother into slavery, exploitation, colonialism, warfare, bloodshed, theft of land, wealth, and resources. Jesus comes to fight the tradition of the elders, but not fight and destroy the law of God. And the prophets came to fulfill. Now, Jesus says in verse 18, chapter 5, St. Matthew, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, all right, heaven and earth pass, let me look up that word pass, 3928, on the Greek side, parerkomai, it means to go past, to pass by, persons moving forward, to pass by, continuing for a time, to pass away, to perish, to neglect, to omit, to be led by, to be carried past, to be averted. So, Jesus is saying that, for verily I say unto you, to heaven and earth pass. So he's causing us to think, will the heaven and earth pass away? Will the heaven and earth go away? One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He says before heaven and earth are passed, every law shall be fulfilled. Let's see. One jot. Let's look at this word jot. 2503. See what we learn. Iota. The Hebrew letter. The smallest of them all. Hence equivalent to the minutest part. So, Jesus is looking at the law to the most minute detail, to the minutest detail. the actual letters that make up the law of God will not pass away. The heaven and earth will pass away before the minutest detail of the law is passed away. Or one tittle, 2762 on the Greek side. Keraya, 2762, a little horn, extremity, apex, point, used by grammarians of the accents and diacritical points. Jesus used it of the little lines or projections by which the Hebrew letters in other respects similar differ from one another. The meaning is, not even the minutest part of the law shall perish. Let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program, thinkaboutit.org. Today's recording date is Friday, November the 25th, 2011, and this is the special Sunday school sessions. The Sunday school lesson we are preaching from today is forgiving as God's people. In the revolution, we're going to have to learn to forgive one another for unity, that we may rise up and fight the modern day Caesars, the modern day Romans, the modern day slave masters and exploiters. So we are learning that Jesus is looking at the law of God to its most, or to its minutest detail. Not one jot nor tittle, not one letter, and not one detail of the letter. Looking at any letter, and look at the details of any letter that you see. The letter K, look at the line to your left, and then the two lines that almost make up a triangle going into the letter, going into the line to make the K. Look at the letter T. Look at the vertical line and the horizontal line, how they meet to make the T. Jesus is if you were able to read Hebrew, he is breaking down even the lines that make up the letter. Jesus is looking at the law in its most minute, in its minutest detail, in its most minute detail, and saying not any portion of the law shall perish. Going back to verse 18, chapter 5, St. Matthew. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise. Let's look up this in no wise. 3364 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Ume. Ume. Particle. Never. It's the part of the speech is a particle. And its meaning is never. Certainly not. Not at all, by no means. So let's go back. By no means. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor one tittle shall in no way, by no means pass. 3928, pass. Parerkomai means to go, to pass by. To be carried past, be averted. So before heaven and earth pass away, not one jot nor tittle shall in no wise, in no way, go by, pass by, be averted, be destroyed, right? From the law. 3551, this word law, nomos, Greek side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Anything established, anything received by usage, custom law. So this law approved by God, used producing a state approved by God, observance of which is approved by God. So this is the law of God we're speaking about. Till all be fulfilled. Till all be fulfilled. 1096, fulfilled. Genomai.
It means to become, to come into existence. So Jesus is saying, heaven and earth will be destroyed before this law will be fulfilled. That's what Jesus is saying when you break it all down. Jesus is saying, walk the earth. Look at the earth. The earth has been here for billions of years. Long time the earth has been here. Heaven has the heavens, the expanse of the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, all of this magnificent creation has been here for a very, very long time and will remain for a very, very long time. And before any portion of creation is gone, passed, done away with, the most minute detail of the law will be fulfilled, will come into existence, will be received into being, will come to pass, will happen, will arise, will appear in history, will come upon the stage. These are the various meanings of the word fulfilled in 1096 Genomai. So Jesus is telling us once again, do not believe these people that come to tell you that the law is done away with. No, the law must be fulfilled. And remember what we said last time about some of the law. No usury, no interest, no debt, no slavery, no selling your sister and your brother into slavery, no leaving your brother or sister in slavery. You must purchase the freedom of your sister and brother. Do not allow your sister and brother to be your slave. You hire your sister and brother, pay them a living wage. Then there's another thing that said, if they are your slave after 6 years, free them and provide them with sustenance that is adequate for their livelihood. Provide out of your cattle, provide out of your wine, provide out of your land. Do not enslave your sister and brother. Pursue justice, pursue righteousness. Do not allow those that are fatherless to go without justice, to seek justice for the fatherless and plead for the widow. These are the law. And Jesus does not come to do away with God's law of truth, justice, and righteousness, of freedom, justice, and equality. Jesus comes to fulfill the law. Also, treat the stranger correctly. Treat the stranger with justice. These are found in Jeremiah. And we also saw these are found in Isaiah. And these are found in Deuteronomy. And these are found in Leviticus. Everything Jesus taught came from the law. The law to love God with all your heart and love your sister and your brother, your neighbor as yourself. You see, Caesar also, do not, as Israel, you are not to be ruled by any ruler but God. So you see, Caesar is in violation of the law. The Roman Empire was in violation of the law. And the petty bourgeoisie elite sellouts, known to us as high priests, scribes, Pharisees, Herodians, Sadducees, and so on. These were violators of the law. So Jesus had to fight these violators of the law, had to fight the tradition of the elders, had to fight Rome, fight Caesar, and raise the people up, raise the African Hebrew Israelite oppressed community up to know and understand that you are not to tolerate slavery, you are not to tolerate exploitation, you are not to tolerate colonialism, you are not to tolerate being ruled by anyone but God, but the Most High Father, the Most High Mother, Yahweh. You are not to allow your tithes to be used for anyone and anything but the people. That's what the tithe is for. But the high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were hijacking the people of the tithes. And Herod was taxing the tithe of the people. And Caesar was putting another tax. And so all of this was in violation of God's law. You were not to tolerate poverty at all. That was the mission
of the African Hebrew Israelite nation. Go all over that region and stand and fight on behalf of the oppressed. The nation of Israel was to be a sanctuary for the oppressed. This is the law that Jesus came to fulfill, that the rulers, the puppets and puppeteers were all in violation of those wonderful laws of God. Now, let's go on. Verse 19, chapter 5, Saint, and we say that the Rothschilds are in violation of that same law of God, because the whole earth is Israel. The whole earth is Israel, and we are the people of God. We are the true African Hebrew Israelite nation. Black man and woman, you are the Messiah people. You are the African Hebrew Israelite nation. It is your job to raise up the oppressed among the black, the brown, the red, the yellow, the white. And it is your job and our job to collectively go after all the fatherless, go after all the widows, go after all of the oppressed, and together oppose those modern day violators of God's law. The whole earth is to be rid of slavery, exploitation, warfare, bloodshed, theft of land, wealth, and resources. This is our job all over the earth. Verse 19, chapter 5, St. Matthew. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. Notice, remember, Jesus is looking at the minutest detail in God's law, down to the very lines that make up the letters that make up the law that is based on the universe, which is constructed from Yahweh's philosophy of truth, justice, and righteousness, known as Mayat in Egypt. So whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So now, let's look up this word break. We're talking about God's law. We're talking about what we just talked about. Fighting against colonialism, slavery, exploitation, doing away with poverty, fighting for the widows, fighting for the fatherless, doing away with interest and debt and slavery. All right? That's the commandment of God, to stand up for the oppressed and deliver the oppressed. And so, whosoever shall break these laws shall break. 3089 on the Greek side. Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Luo. To loose any person or thing tied or fastened. The bandages of the feet, the shoes. All right, so we are tied to God's law, and we all live to our greatest capacity when we recognize God's law. So anyone that would break our tie to the law of God, break our tie to freedom, justice, and equality, that person is the least in the kingdom. Also, another definition, a husband and wife joined together by the bond of matrimony. So this law of God, the laws of God, are a marriage contract between God and creation and the human family being a part of creation. So anyone that would disconnect God and ourselves in creation, destroy the law that is that binding contract, that is our bond of matrimony between ourselves and the Most High, is the least in the kingdom. Bandages of the feet, the shoes, anyone that would take the bandage of the law from our feet and our shoes. It says that we should shod our feet with righteousness. If I have that other scripture correct in another place in the scripture, that we walk with righteousness. The laws of God are the light that give us sight so that we may walk in righteousness. So see how this whole thing ties together. Anyone that would cause us to be loosened from the law, our feet to be removed from that bandage, which is the law that gives our feet the necessary capacity to walk in righteousness, that one that would teach us that way is least in the kingdom. A single man, bondages of a single man, whether he has already had a wife or has not yet married. So anyone that would cause us to be loosened from this tie, loosened from the law, anyone that will break, just like a marriage contract, break the tie between ourselves, and that tie is the law of God that gives us truth, justice, and righteousness. It's as if you cause a man not to be married to the choice that he has chosen to be married to. Choosing to disconnect the human family and creation from God. Look here. That one is least in the kingdom shall break one of these least commandments. Commandments 1785. Commandments. Entole. On the Greek side. Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. An order, a command, a charge, a precept, an injunction. That which is prescribed to one by reason of his office. A commandment, a prescribed rule in accordance with which a thing is done. A precept relating to lineage of the Mosaic precept concerning the priesthood. Ethically used of the commandments in the Mosaic law or Jewish tradition. So, anyone that would teach us to turn our backs on God's law, on God's commandments that are rooted in truth, justice, and righteousness. Continuing in this verse, and shall teach men, so, meaning teach men to do so, to disconnect from God's law. 1321, let's look up this word teach. Didaxo, to teach, to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them, to deliver didactic discourses, to be a teacher, to discharge the office of a teacher, to conduct oneself as a teacher. So, the high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, Caesar, the Roman Empire, all of the elites, all of them taught the people to break God's commandments, to disrespect God's law, to join in the system of slavery, exploitation, colonialism. Just as the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers do so today, just as the Wall Street bankers, oligarchs, the corporate elite plutocrats, just as the President of the United States is doing right now, whether it is Obama today, Bush yesterday, Clinton the day before that, Herbert Walker Bush the day before that, Jimmy Carter the day before that, and Ronald Reagan the day before that. All of them teach us to join the military, to join the FBI, to join the CIA, to join the Fraternal Order of the Police, and join in America's brute killing and shedding of blood all over the earth, to join this system of slavery exploitation, to join in telling lies on each other, to join in being divided from each other, to join in speaking evil of one another, to join in the climbing the backs of your sisters and brothers to gain fame, fortune, and money. So Jesus is saying, these that are teaching us this are the least in the kingdom. The least, 1646. On the Greek side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. The smallest in size, amount, management of affairs, importance. The least in authority. The least. All right, so watch this now. The Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and the ruling class and ruling families come before us as if they are the greatest. But Jesus is calling them the least. Caesar was taught as the greatest. The Roman Empire elites were taught as being the greatest. The high priests, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, they were all the elites. And they were taught to the people as being the greatest. But Jesus is saying, no, these are the least. These are the smallest. But whosoever shall do and teach them, meaning the commandments of God, of truth, justice, and righteousness, shall be great in the kingdom.
Let me look up this word great right quick. 3173 megas or megas. It means to be great, of external form or sensible appearance of things, particular of space and dimensions in respects, mass, weight, compass, and extent. All right, so Jesus is looking at the people who are called terrible, the oppressed, who are called the least by those that are supposed to be great. Rome, Caesar, looked down and denigrated and destroyed the people and belittled the people. But Jesus is saying, you sisters and brothers who stand up for revolution, stand up for righteousness, you are the greatest, whereas Caesar and Rome and the elites are the least and the smallest. And we say today, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, the presidents and prime ministers, the leaders of government, heads of state, heads of government, financial institutions, educational institutions that teach us to destroy our sisters and brothers, they are the least. But we, the occupiers, the activists, those who are rising up with Christ in our consciousness, we are the greatest. We're going to take our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.